From health and wellness to education,
we need to be thinking about what it takes for students to succeed.
From art and politics to social issues of the day,
we have young Black males who are thriving in their communities and who are being shown as leaders.
The journey is what matters.
I would say to all of us, we can be better than we are.
Let's join Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, president of Howard University, and his guests as they take steps on the journey.
At a time when there's growing demand for health professionals, my guest has been at the center of the charge to answer the call. She's a nursing professional who has turned her compassion and care into a lifetime of preparing young nurses and other healthcare professionals for the world. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today on The Journey is the Dean of the College of Nursing and Allied Health Sciences at Howard University, Dr. Gina Brown. Welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Frederick. I'm grateful to be here this morning.
So I have to put my bias out there. My mom had been a nurse for 50 years before finally retiring. So I know exactly the role that nurses play. So I'd like to start there in particular. When I was coming to medical school here at Howard, my mother told me if I did not speak to the nurse in the morning before seeing the patient, I didn't see the patient. What is your thought about the interprofessional nature of what must happen around the care of the patient in today's system?
Well, I think your mother, first of all, was a very smart woman to tell you that because nurses do run the world. But I will say to you that there is nothing that can happen in a hospital setting without having interdisciplinary education all the way around in terms of every component, from the transporter who brings the patient up to the nurse who's at the bedside, to the physician who actually ensures that the care is done, to the pharmacist who actually dispenses the meds. You must have a group component in order to make the world go around in terms of healthcare. And in order for the patient to have a positive experience, all of those components must come together in order to make that experience the best that it has to be.
So, given the complexity as well as the intensity of education in all of those fields that you mentioned today, how best can institutions like Howard University weave that into our education for any one of those fields, but really doing it comprehensively?
I think that's a great question. I think the component of that needs to be that we have to have care that's innovative. The interdisciplinary component can't just be what it is that we're looking at that's hospital-based. It has to be all of the things that our students actually use on a day-to-day basis that make that experience great. For instance, in terms of banking or Google Glass or using all of the things that are really out there in the world, we have to bring all of those components into healthcare. Why? Because if we don't offer the best care and if we don't teach our students how to offer the best care, how they would want to be treated, then we're not going to have the best care. So I think it really starts at the ground network of how we teach our students to train our patients. How would we like them to be taught? How would we like them to be treated? How do we, not just from the nursing perspective, but from every single discipline that we're looking at, how best can you treat a patient? Do we offer valet service in terms of not just parking cars, but in terms of when they walk into the hospital? Are we walking people to where their appointments are if they don't know where to get to in the hospital? Are we ensuring that if they don't know how to get to the pharmacy, that we take them there? If they don't have money for their medications, are we looking at other companies, if you see commercials, AstraZeneca can help. Are we looking at ways in order to pay for those medications? Are we doing everything we can do in order to make sure that we're decreasing our level of health disparities? Because in our community, that's what we're looking at. That should be the focal point of where we're going.
Now, why nursing? What drew you to nursing?
I was poor, Black, wanted to make money, and wanted to go to medical school, so I thought. So I decided because I was poor and Black that I would need to have a job that I could pay my way through medical school. So initially, before I decided to go to college, I knew I was going to college. I applied to eight. I got into eight. Most of my family had gone to Oakwood College, which is a HBCU in Alabama. I decided I wanted to go to Loma Linda because they were given a free ride. So I didn't want to go to HBCU. Went to Loma Linda, had a great time. At the end of the year, I said, I want to be my people. So I transferred at the end of that year, went to Oakwood's nursing program, and ended up with a degree in nursing and biology and loved it and said, I'm going to work and be a nurse. I have my biology degree now. I'm going to go to med school, started doing nursing, and I loved it and never turned around, decided to get a PhD in nursing, and God blessed me to get a free ride with that PhD in nursing. So I loved nursing. I loved being at the bedside. I loved teaching others how to take care of themselves. Health disparities is a really big thing that I look at because I look at my people and how we respond to what we would call sugar diabetes, which of course does not exist, and the amputations and the other things that we have issues with. And so those things really, how can I sit around and have 4 degrees and not teach healthcare literacy and health disparities and all of the other components that our people actually need? So I got into nursing because I saw where I could make a difference in somebody's life.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Dr. Gina Brown, Dean of the College of Nursing and Allied Health Sciences at Howard University. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. So just to shift gears a bit, you know, I noticed that your love for that ability, for teaching students, for education, for trying to give them some direction in terms of their journey and their path has taken you on quite a journey throughout Africa and Asia. Tell us a little bit about your international experience.
So internationally, I was tapped. One of the universities that I worked at before had some mission projects. And so the president of that organization asked me if I would go initially to the Philippines for Adventist Healthcare to look at the curriculum in the Philippines, to look at the curriculum in Asia for nurses, to find out if those nurses were on par with the nurses here in the United States. So it started out as one trip and ended up being 10, 12 trips of evaluating curriculum, rebuilding nursing schools, and really looking at what those nurses' schools actually needed to look like in order for their curriculum to match our curriculum. From there, a different president who was related to that president in terms of academics asked me to go to Africa. It started out in Tanzania looking at programs there to build nursing programs because they did not have one. So we started a program in Tanzania and then moved to Ghana and started a nursing program in Ghana, which both are still active right now in terms of looking at what the education needed to be like, tapping into our resources here to garner books and other types of educational materials and getting those schools up. So those were things that I love to do because I saw the difference that it made for my people.
Now, for occupational therapy, physical therapy, most the allied health professionals, just to focus on those some more, clearly you have an underrepresentation of African Americans in those fields. And as you look at students who are coming in, what do you tell students who may have an interest but aren't sure about what exactly those fields are about? What is your perspective that you can share with them that would interest them in pursuing those fields?
I think that there are two things, Dr. Frederick. Thank you for that question. One is we need to back up to high school. We need to get our students involved in STEM programs and really roll them into the sciences at an early age so that they're not fearful of the sciences. I found that in looking at our students, when they're coming in, the GPA is the number one thing that's preventing them. So let's say you need a 3.0 GPA to get into occupational therapy or physical therapy. Our students don't have the science base. So they come in, they enjoy the college experience, and there's nothing wrong with that, but they don't have the basis of the sciences in order to propel them forward to the next level. So if we start on a high school level, even in middle school, teaching them how to love and embrace the sciences and how to really learn what our Asian and Caucasian counterparts learn in terms of the sciences. Once they come to college, they'll have a grip on the sciences and they'll be able to move quickly into those fields of occupational therapy, physical therapy, nutritional sciences, clinical laboratory sciences, all of the other fields that we actually have where we are certainly hugely underrepresented.
Now, the other aspect of this, obviously, is recruiting faculty members who can provide instruction and provide mentorship. Is there a difficulty in terms of recruiting faculty members? And if there is, what are some of your strategies to encourage more people to get into the academic aspects of the allied health professional area?
Hugely difficult. I was on the phone this morning trying to tap into a network to find. I have 4 major areas that I really need to look at and that I'm really trying to revamp. And this last year that I've been here over the 8 months, it's really been being reactive. And so we're trying to move from being reactive to being proactive to really propelling our programs to the next level. It's very difficult to find talented African-American health professionals who can write academically. They may be able to perform in their field of expertise, but when you start to look at the writing and those other aspects of academia, those are hugely difficult to look at. So I think prepping our own, putting our own in the pipeline to bridge the gap of what we actually need, and really tapping into pulling a lot of our talented African-American academicians out of other institutions where they may want to have somebody who's there because of the color of skin, bringing them to Howard, where we're the Mecca, the number one HBCU. Don't care what the papers say, we are number one. And really bringing them here to where they belong in order to take us to the next level.
Now, in terms of faculty development, which I would assume is an important aspect of this, and obviously we've launched a new faculty development office and the provost office. How does it specifically relate to your college?
So what we've done with the new associate provost for faculty development is we've already had her come in. She's already done an in-service for our faculty. We've already sent our junior faculty to the Friday forums as well. And we're really revamping our whole faculty concept of what it means to be a faculty member. Tenure does not mean resting in peace. And so I believe strongly in post-tenure review, because I believe that once you get tenure, then you need to keep tenure. It's like being married. You can't just be married and not going to date. You've got to, you know, just embellish that relationship. And so really pushing not just our current faculty who are on tenure track, but those who are already tenured to really produce and make a difference. I say to our faculty all the time that there are 13 colleges. We need to be number one. How do we get to be number one? There are certain things we need to do. And one of those is having excellent faculty at all levels. And either you're excellent at what you do, or we need to revamp your seat on the bus, or you may need to catch a new bus. But we want to ensure that everybody who is in our college is number one at what it is we do, that we're cutting edge in terms of our dynamics, in terms of our equipment, in terms of our students. It's not just about bringing the best students. You have to have the best faculty. And so really making sure that we have standardized testing that looks at reliability and validity, looking at research, what's currently out there, putting ourselves out there in terms of the research pipeline, funding, grants, really taking ourselves to the next level, and ensuring that we have graduate education. I think that one of the things that our program, our college does not have, are enough graduate programs. My goal is that within the next 36 months is to really move us to graduate education, to start to, that's where our African Americans, our health disparities are most targeted, is really in looking at graduate programs. And it really buoys up the university when we have a large number of graduate programs in the health discipline. So that's really one of the focal points that we need to look at.
Now, I guess as we're closing, I'd like you to tell for our audience, and especially thinking of parents in the audience who, when they are advising their children around science, around math and science, and around the STEM disciplines in particular, science, technology, engineering, and math, there's not enough conversation about these fields. And how can they best tap into information that would help them give their kids a broader spectrum of what the options are?
I think that that's a great question. I think one of the things is that we have to do a better job in terms of being health professionals to tap into going to the high schools and the middle schools to let them know what's actually out there. So some of our responsibility would be in terms of recruiting those types of students to let them know, here's what's actually out there. Do you know what a radiation therapist is? Do you know what an occupational therapist does? Giving them the tools that they actually need in order to show them that these are fields that we're underrepresented in, but that you can make a huge difference in, and allowing them to plug and play, as they would say, in each of these disciplines, that everybody doesn't need to be a nurse. There are other disciplines that really make a difference. So I think that our responsibility would be to really go out there to the elementary schools, to the middle schools, to the high schools, talking to them, going to the churches, the laundromats, the barbershops, and talking to the fathers and mothers and saying, hey, what are your kids going to do when they graduate? How is the place they need to go? Here are the things that they need to focus on. Here's how we get them to the next step. And then as you've incurred the whole piece of scholarshiping and what we've actually done through your leadership for students who are actually coming in, making sure that they understand and know that there is funding out there. Just because you're poor and you don't have any money and that you're in a poverty-stricken development does not mean anything. You can still come to Howard if your grades are par excellent, get a free ride, and really make a difference. So I think my focal point would be letting them know what's actually out there and what we can actually do to bring them up into the community.
Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Dr. Gina Brown, the Dean of the College of Nursing and Allied Health Sciences here at Howard University. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, right here on the Howard University Radio Network.